He makes a distinction. The Lord in Bhagavad Gita, he makes a distinction that I specially protect my devotees. It's already understood that Krishna is protecting everyone. Everyone's going on by the will of the Lord, protection of the Lord. But he says, those who are my devotees, that have surrendered their lives to me, I give them special protection. An example given is just like a king in a country, he's protecting all the citizens equally. That's his duty. He's the king to protect everyone. Kshatriya. Kshatriya means to protect people from disturbances in their peaceful progress of life. However, the intimate associates of the king, of the prime minister, to make it more contemporary, his cabinet ministers, or his personal ministers, his secretaries, they will be given more protection. Just like any gentleman, he will care for other children. If he's a gentleman and a family man, he'll have care and love for other children. But his own children, in his own family, have so much more care, so much more love and concern. This is natural. It's a natural psychology. Those that are most intimate, those that are most surrendered, those that are serving you, those that are close to you, you have more regard for them, more care, more compassion, more concern. In the same way, those living entities that surrender to Krishna, become his devotees, they're so much dear to the Lord that he takes the trouble. He's saying, there's no one more dear to me than such devotees. And then I take special protection, I take special care to protect them. Queen Kunti was praying when, I believe she was here in Hastinapur, and Krishna was about to return to Dwarka in the Bhagavatam, third canto. And she was saying, well, Pandavas had received their, they returned, they were the, Yudhisthira was made the emperor of the world, peace was, now it was world peace everywhere, no more fighting factions, Kurukshetra battle was finished, Krishna wanted to return to Dwarka. Everything seemed quite wonderfully, perfectly situated, very peaceful, devotees in charge, everything adjusted nicely. And Krishna was going back to Dwarka. And Mother Kunti, Queen Kunti, she's praying, oh my Lord, oh Dwarkadish, oh Krishna, please, don't leave us. You're thinking now everything's safe, everything is safe, everything is secure, everything has been adjusted now. But I don't think that. I'm always thinking, I need your protection. I always want to have your association. I always want to be with you. Don't think that even though my sons, Bhima and Arjuna, I have my powerful sons. They're the most powerful warriors in the whole universe, practically. Bhima, invincible, and Arjuna, they're so powerful. Even though I have my powerful sons, I'm afraid. I'm afraid of this material existence. I don't think I'm safe. I'm always needing your mercy. Please don't leave. Please stay here with us. Because I know that when you're with us, they will always be protected. When I'm always seeing you and remembering you, and you're always giving us your association, I have no fear of anything. But if you're not here, if you go to Dwarka, how will I carry on? So we see this is the mood of all the devotees, and this is one of the symptoms of surrender, which is mentioned in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu or Hari Bhakti Vilas, Rakshishya Titi Vishvasanam, means that Vishvas means faith. One of the six symptoms of surrender of a devotee is that he has Vishvas. He has very firm conviction. Because Vishwas means faith, but it means very condensed faith, very thick faith. It means conviction. When faith is very intense and very concentrated, it's called conviction. Unshakable, unmovable conviction. And his conviction is what? His Rakshishyatiti Vishwasanam. Says that, this is Hari Bhakti Vilas, the sixth symptom of surrender, the devotee has firm faith in the Lord's protection. He has firm faith. I I'm very tiny, I'm very weak, but I'm always surrendering myself to the Lord. He is my Lord and Master. This is the mentality of an advanced devotee. An advanced devotee in Krishna consciousness, he thinks, I am the Supreme Lord's servant. The Supreme Lord is my Master. In all circumstances, Krishna is my Lord and Master, and I am his servant. And surely he will always protect me. This is the thinking of an advanced devotee. Seems very simple, that I am the Lord's servant, always and eternally. He is my Master, Krishna is my Master, and it is my duty simply to carry out my service and surrender to him and perform my duty. My duty means my service, my devotional service, and Krishna will surely protect me. And in Vrindavan, we see that this was always the pervading mood of the residents of Vrindavan, although so many difficulties were there. They were living with Krishna and Balaram. They never thought that Krishna and Balaram are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They never thought that this is Bhagavan, or this is Swayam Bhagavan, Vasudeva, Krishna. They never thought that these two boys were the Lord. But they had absolute faith in them. And they're always convinced that they will protect me. When Nanda Maharaj was taken, when he went to bathe on Dwadasi too early in the morning, and Vrunadeva, they took his assistant, snatched Nanda Maharaj and took him to Varuna's kingdom under the Yamuna. The Brijvasis came to the bank of the Tata, Yamuna Tata, the bank of the Yamuna, and they were crying out. They weren't crying out, oh God, save Nanda Maharaj, oh God, save. They were saying, Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram. Because their shelter is there. Because whenever they had any difficulty, Krishna Balaram would always save them, somehow or other. They always thought that our boys must be maybe some empowered demigods, or maybe somehow or other they have some incredible power. We don't know who they are. We know they are children. I mean, they know who they are. Nanda Maharaji said, this is my little boy. Even when Narada Muni came, Narada Muni said, Nanda Baba, why, you're so playing so intimately with your boy, and you're smelling his head, and you're treating him just like an ordinary child. Do you realize who your son is? And Narada Muni started to recount the wonderful glories of Bhagavan Sri Krishna. Your son is Vasudeva. Your son is the Karana, Sarva Karana Karana. He's the cause of all causes. He's the Parameshvara. He's the supreme controller. He's everything. He's a Lokeshwara. He's the owner of all the planets. He starts saying like this. Nanda Maharaj is saying, Narada Muni, you've been out in the sun too long. You've been traveling around playing your veena. I think you've been getting too much sun on your head, you know. Too much sun on the head makes you go a little crazy, because what are you speaking? It's some upside down thing you're saying. You don't know who you're, this is, I don't know who you're talking about, some other person. But this boy right in front here that's just lying here sleeping, this is Nanda Nandana. This is Yashoda Nandana. This is This little boy, sometimes at night when he's sleeping, and then lightning comes, boom, boom, big rain, monsoon storm, he starts crying, oh, Pita, Pita. And he jumps up from his bed, and he runs in, and he jumps into the bed with me. And he holds me around the neck and says, please protect me, please protect me. So all I know is my little boy. And sometimes he runs and he goes in the house and he just, he passes urine in the middle of the floor. So how can you say that this boy is Bhagavan Krishna? No. Narada Muni, you don't know what you're talking about. But like that, the Brijvasis never thought that Krishna and Balaram were the Supreme Lord. But always they had full faith and full conviction that if there's any disturbance, there's any problems, which there were so many, Kamsa sent so many anti-personalities that were anti-Krishna. Bakasura was Baka anti-Krishna, and then there was Aga anti-Krishna, so many Agasura and Bakasura, Trinavarta, Bhutana. But they always took shelter of Krishna. And there was no difficulty for them. So that is our position, is that our only protection in any place, in any time, is the Lord, is Krishna. And he always protects the devotees. The devotees, by reading the Shastra and hearing the hundreds and hundreds of examples of how the Lord comes to protect His devotees, increases our faith in the Lord so we can come to this platform of surrender. One of the six symptoms of surrender is, of course, we accept the Lord as our master and our guardian, but we also feel ourselves completely dependent on the Lord, and we always expect the Lord's protection. And devotees, as they go on further in Krishna consciousness, year after year, they see how the Lord protects them. He's always protecting them. Of course, it isn't that we think, like some materialist, he will foolishly think, now I have purchased my life insurance policy. Now I have my medical insurance, I have my life insurance, I have my fire insurance on my house, and all of some. Now I'm all protected. I'm protected on all sides. My house is protected, my family's protected, my body's protected. I have all my insurance, all my coverage. They call it coverage. Even when you get your insurance policy, it says full protection. It says, do you want the full protection policy? Or you buy a new car. You buy a new car and they say they have some kind of maintenance contract where you pay a certain amount of money every year and the car company, they maintain your car. They say, do you want full protection? Do you want the full protection policy or the half protection? Oh, I want the full protection. I want to protect my nose and my tail and my arms, my legs, everything full. So they get this full protection. But this is not full protection, this is fool's protection. Similar word. It is not full. It is this so-called full protection is the protection of a fool. You know, Puggle. This is Puggle protection. Puggle Baba. There's a madman's protection. Because there's no protection. But the devotee doesn't think, oh, I'm Krishna's devotee, I have my protection policy, so I'll just sit back. Because we see even Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma, because devotees, they think, well, I'm protected by the Lord, so that's, I'm surrendered to the Lord, so I have my policy, I'm okay. Let me just do whatever I do, and no problem. Krishna will protect me. And this is not really the position. Because the devotees, from Lord Brahma, Brahma is the original Brahmana. And Brahmanas attain a power called Brahman Tejas. Tejas means power, or light, effulgence, means many things. A Brahman Tejas means the power of a Brahman. But a Brahman doesn't become foolish to think, oh, I have this power of austerities or purity or knowledge. Knowledge is power, purity is power, austerity is power. Now I have this power, so I'm invincible. I'm a big Digby Jai Pandit. No one can conquer me. No one can defeat me. I'm invincible and undefeatable. Because Lord Brahma, how much Brahman Tejas does he have? The original Brahman is Brahma. That's where the word comes from. Comes from him. Brahma is the Brahmana. He's the original Brahmana. He's the most powerful Brahmana. But what is his activity? Does he think, oh, I'm Lord Brahma. I have so much Brahman Tejas. I'm creating the whole universe. But he's not thinking that. He's thinking in a very, very humble way. Very humble way. To explain second canto of Bhagavatam. That he's involved in creation. So when he's creating the living entities, he has to contact. He has to associate and contact with so many vicious living entities. This is the word that Prabhupada uses. Vicious means very violent and very, you know, dangerous type of living entities, because he's creating cobras and snakes and all kinds of living entities. Demons and everything. He's creating everything. So he's a little afraid. He's a little afraid. And what does he do? He's always praying to the Lord. He's always praying to Lord Vishnu, his father. Pitamaha. He's always praying to Lord Vishnu. What is he praying? My dear Lord Vishnu, please protect me. My dear Lord Vishnu, please protect me so I don't fall down from my Brahman Tejas. So I don't fall down from this Brahman platform, this Brahminical spiritual platform. Because I have to associate. So Prabhupada explained this in a purport. He explained that the devotees, as Queen Kunti exemplifies and so many others, they should always pray for the Lord's protection. Of course, Krishna guarantees in the Gita that I will protect you. Don't be afraid. Sarvadharman prityaja mam ekam sharanam braja. Aham tvam sarvapapebhyo mokshayishami mahasuchaha. You surrender to me, I will protect you. Sarvapape, you know, from everything. Everything, all your problems, I'll protect you. But at the same time, the devotees are very humble, so they're always praying, my dear Lord. And I give you another part. The devotees of the Lord, beginning from Lord Brahma, the most powerful and greatest demigod, all the way down to the small little Bhakta, you know, Bhakta Das or Krishna Das or whomever, They should have this mood of always praying, "My dear Lord, I'm very, very weak. I'm very, very tiny and very, very small. And I'm going out in this material world. I'm living in this material world. It's a very dangerous place. At any moment, I could fall. I could drown under this ocean of material existence. I could be burned in this fire of material life." These are the analogies that are used when they talk about the material world. They talk about the Dhavanagni, right? Dhavanagni. They talk about the Bhava Samudra, right? Samudra. They talk about the ocean of material existence, or the Dhavanagni, the forest fire. The fire is the material existence. We can drown in it because the ocean creates a sense of omnipotency or awesomeness and power within the minds of men. Because a man stands before the power of the ocean, he feels small. So powerful. You can't swim across the ocean. You can't walk across. You can't hardly swim into the ocean. One big wave will knock you flat. What to speak of a fire? Everyone's afraid of fire. So this material world is compared to this ocean, the ocean of material existence, Bhava Sahagara, Bhava Samudra. And Dhavan, we say, we glorify Guru. Samsara Dhavanala Lita Loka. Samsara Dhavanala Lita Loka. This Dhavanala, this fire is fire. He's delivering us from that. From the samsara, repeated ocean, the repetition of birth and death. So devotees, we should always have this mood of always pray to the Lord for protection. Please don't let me fall down. Prabhupada once said, trouble, problem with you Western devotees, or he said, because all he had at that time was, you could say, Western devotees. It was a very new movement. He said, you devotees are not afraid of Maya. So you're thinking, yes, I'm a devotee, I have Sila, Kanti Mala, I'm okay. I'm doing Guru's service, I'm all right. It's true, you're all right. But Prabhupada said, you should always pray to Krishna, please protect me. Please don't let me fall down. Because there's so much Maya within us. Maya is within us in the form of our Prarabdha Karma, our material desires. And Maya is without us in this material world. This is the Maya Shakti. So therefore, we are in a perilous and precarious position where we should always constantly take shelter of the Lord, always be praying to the Lord. And the Lord, of course, he says that, don't worry, don't be afraid, I'll always protect you. And Lord Chaitanya, because many devotees here are preaching and they're going into the material energy and it's very, very dangerous. One could fall into the Maya, attraction for sex life or intoxication or eating horrible things or gambling. So many Mayas there, so many sinful life is there. Always pulling, always attracting, always alluring. Come enjoy. Alluring, hypnotizing, alluring, attracting, compelling, forcing. If you live in the temple and the sanctity of the holy abode of the Lord, naturally there's some protection there. This is a shelter, this is the Vaikuntha Dham, the atmosphere of the Lord. Jai and Vijaya are at the door. Jai and Vijaya are at the door of Vaikuntha, driving out any non-devotees and protecting the devotees. So this is a safe harbor. This is a safe shelter, the temple. But we're going out to preach in the material world, into the thick of the material energy, into the depths of illusion, and trying to spread Krishna consciousness. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has said personally, he said, if you're a simple and surrendered soul, if you're actually genuine and honest, and trying to preach, I myself will give you protection. Because when the Lord comes, he brings weapons to protect the devotees. When Lord Ram came, he came with a bow and arrow. Those were his weapons to protect the devotees. And when Krishna came, he came with a chakra. Like Shishupal, he got a nice medicine. He got the chakra. So Krishna came to protect his devotees with the chakra. And Lord Vishnu, he carries four weapons. His shank, gada, padma, chakra. So these weapons, see, two are for the devotees and two are for the demons, equal. Because in this world, what do you have? There's only two categories of people in the material world. Those that are for and those that are against. Those that are for the service of Krishna, the devotees, and those that are against, the anti-factor. Pro and anti, these two words are there, right? Pro and anti. Pro means for and anti means against. So the pro factor, the devotees are for Krishna. So we have demons and devotees, Sura and Asura. So Krishna, with his chakra, he annihilates the demons and protects the devotees. And with his gada, or his club, he also annihilates the demons, protects the devotees. But he has a shank, he has a conch shell and a lotus. What is a conch shell and a lotus? This panchajanya, this conch shell of the Lord, this shank, he makes that sound. It is a beautiful sound. The sound of the conch shell is a beautiful sound for the devotees. They find it very sweet and attractive. They like it. Because the sound of the conch shell, when it vibrates in this world, what is it saying? It's saying, listen, everyone. Listen, devotees. I've come to protect you. Don't be afraid. I'm here. I'm with you. I'm right beside you. I'm standing right with you. Wherever you go, I'm right beside you. Listen. You will be victorious. But when the demons hear that conch shell, they shake in fear. And that the representative of all the world-class demons, the symbolic representative of all demons during the battle of Kurukshetra. Because when Krishna vibrated his conch shell, what happened? The demons became afraid. Their hearts were shaking like leaves on a tree. And in the fall, the leaves are shaking. When the wind blows, the leaves are shaking. So their hearts were shaking and quivering. And the ladies, the demoniac ladies who had little demons in their womb, Choti, little baby demons in their wombs. What happened? Haribo. They had miscarriages. So they don't like, even the babies don't like the sound. Even baby demons don't like that sound. They said, well, let's get out of here. They didn't want to take birth. They said, oh, why should we take birth? Why should we leave the womb of this our mother? Because this conch shell is vibrating and we can't have any effect. Better we die in the womb. So all the demons, they had a miscarriage in the womb. So this conch shell is proclaiming, Krishna is saying, with this sound vibration, he's proclaiming, you will be victorious, you'll never be defeated. This is the conch shell. In one hand, the conch shell. And this conch shell, he touched Dhruva Maharaj. And Dhruva Maharaj was, because he was also afraid, because he was afraid also. And Dhruva Maharaj, he said, my Lord, I'm afraid because of my material desires. It's like Prahlad was praying to the Lord, and the Lord protected him, the story. So Dhruva Maharaj, he said, my Lord, you touched me with your conch shell now I'm attracted to you. Now I want your service more than anything, but I'm afraid. I'm afraid of this material energy. I'm afraid of my material desires. Even though I'm a little boy, I'm only 5 years old. Please protect me. Please protect me. And of course the Lord did. The other are the four symbols. Krishna has the Padma. Krishna has the lotus flower. And what is the lotus flower? The lotus flower means, first Krishna blows the conch shell. It's a two-step process. First he blows the conch shell. Listen, everyone! The demons start running away. They run away. Oh, Krishna's here. We're finished. So they flee. As Krishna says in Gita. Arjuna says, oh, Rishikesh! The world becomes joyful when they hear your name. He says that verse in, I think, 16th chapter of Gita. So, oh, Rishikesh, oh, master of the senses. The world becomes joyful when they hear your name. But the demons, when they hear about you, they run, they flee hither and thither. As Prabhupada says, they flee hither and thither, which means they run away. They run away. So when they hear the sound of Krishna's name, what do you think is coming out of that conch shell? When Vishnu blows this conch shell, that's the holy name is coming out. Krishna, and the demons don't like it. So first Vishnu appears and he blows the conch shell and the demons run away. There was one pastime in New Vrindavan back in the 70s. A bunch of dacoits and demons came over there and they shot some devotees and they wanted to harass the devotees. So they went in the temple and he told the pujari who was in charge of the deities, because all the devotees were it was a very dangerous situation. So he said, you're worshipping these idols. He's talking about the deities of Radha, Vrindavan, Chandra. He said, you throw those idols down on the ground. He wanted to throw them down, and he wouldn't do it. So then they took the gun, and they smacked the devotee and knocked him out. You know, he had a big shotgun, and they hit him with this, what do you call it? Anyway, they knocked him on the ground. He was knocked out, unconscious. There was no other devotees around. So then one of the demons pushed the deity. It was Radharani. Radharani broke her finger. But when the deity of Radharani, when her finger broke, an incredible sound came. Incredible, you know, all the devotees heard it and everyone witnessed it. An incredible sound came. And it was, I forget the sound, but some kind of incredible sound, like the roaring sound of 10 million lions. Or the trumpeting sound of 1 billion elephants. You ever hear elephants when they trumpet? You know, or whatever it is, go to Mayapur, they scratch the elephant under here, and they, you know, they call it trumpeting. It's an incredible bellowing sound. So this huge sound penetrated all corners of the universe. And when the demons heard that, they ran like anything. They dropped their guns and ran and jumped in their cars and ran away from that place. So when the devotees have to be protected, first the conch shell blows and chases all the demons and announces, "Listen, everyone, victory for the devotees. They are Ajita. They're serving Ajita. I am Ajita. I am Krishna. I never conquered Ajita. No one conquers me, and no one conquers my devotees. Listen, understand this. I'm proclaiming this. My devotees, Name Bhakti Pranashati, they never perish." So that's the first point. Then Vishnu takes his lotus flower, his Padma, and he says, "Now, because the devotees are afraid, and they're frightened, Krishna, please save me." Then he saves them. Then they feel, "Ah, Krishna saved me." And then he takes his lotus flower and he touches us on the head. He touches the devotee on the head. And what is the lotus flower? The lotus flower is the symbol of all auspiciousness, the symbol of all good fortune. It is the symbol of Lakshmi Devi herself. She carries that lotus in her hand. Why? Because she offers that to the head of the devotee. She blesses them with fortune. She blesses them with eternal life. She blesses them with all peace and happiness. She blesses them with prosperity. She blesses them with liberation. She gives them all blessings for the devotees. And Vishnu carries that same lotus flower. That lotus flower in the hand of Vishnu represents Lakshmi, because Vishnu and Lakshmi are always together. So Lakshmi's representation in the hand of Vishnu is the lotus flower. So the lotus flower is for benedicting, for blessing the devotees. He removes with a conch shell, with the weapons he kills the demons, and he announces the victory with a conch shell. And then he creates all good fortune and restores all peace and all happiness with the lotus flower touched on the head of the devotees. So the Lord comes with these weapons in various ages. In Treta Yuga he comes with bow and arrow, and Dwapara Yuga he comes with chakra. So what weapons does Lord Chaitanya come with in the Kali Yuga? Sango Pangascha Parishadam. Sango Pangascha Parishadam. What are the weapons that Lord Chaitanya brings? He brings a Sangha Anga Parshida. This Sangha Astra. So Astra means weapon, right? This word Astra. So the Sangha Parshida, he brings the weapon of his associates. He brings his associates, Gadadhar Pandit, Nityananda, or Dalji, Balaram, and he brings Srivas Pandit. He brings all his associates. And he brings the Sankirtan movement. Because the holy name is the protection. The holy name is the only shelter, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, that the only shelter in the 14 planetary systems is the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So this holy name will protect us anywhere and anytime. We have hundreds of examples in the lives of devotees. When Sankirtan devotees sit together, one of their favorite pastimes is telling about how the Lord protected them from the demons. Either by chanting Hare Krishna mantra or in the Sringadeva prayers. One story was told by a very close friend of mine. He was cornered. He was chased by one demon in New York City with a gun who wanted to shoot him, kill him. And he's running here and there, and he ran down this alley and he got to the end and there was nowhere to go, and he's standing back with his back against the wall, and the demon was running down with a gun. So then the demon got to him and said, "All right, Krishna, you're finished. I hate you guys. I'm going to kill you right now." So he said, "Jaya Sringadev, Jaya Sringadev." He started chanting the Sringadev. The Sringadev, he said, "The Sringadev, the Sringadev." And just at that moment, there was some guy in the apartment, because in New York, everyone has guns. In New York City, everyone has three or four guns. In fact, they did a survey once in America. They went around different houses and they asked every family questions. How many guns do you have in your house? How many guns do you have? So some families don't have guns. Some don't have any. Our family, where I grew up, we had no guns. Somehow, some faith in God or something. We had no guns in our house. But some families have 9 or 10 guns. So when you add up all together, all the averages, they say that the average American house has 5 guns. Five guns. One for the babe, one for the son, one for the daughter, one for the mother, one for the husband, one for the maid. In case they have a big fight, they can all just start shooting each other. So the average home has five guns. So this person was there, and he was about to, this devotee, he was saying, Nisringadev. So someone was up in the apartment overlooking this alley, and he saw, oh, what's going on here? This little guy with bald head, and no, some guy's going to shoot him. So he just thought, well, I might as well shoot this other guy. So he took his gun from up in the apartment somewhere, bam, bam, bam. And so when the devotee heard the shots, he went, oh! He thought he got shot. The devotee thought he got shot when he heard the gunshot. He was standing, he told the story, it's a true story. He thought he was singing. And then when he heard the shots, he went, oh! But he actually, when the shots went off, he didn't actually shout Hare Krishna. And he fell on the ground, he went, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Then he looked, hey, I'm all right. And he saw this guy, and the guy in front of him was all his blood. And wow. He said, I'm getting out of here. Then he just ran out of there. He left that place, and he never heard anything about it, you know. Singh Maharaji! Shri Krishna Maharaji! So, Krishna's everywhere. Everywhere, in every column, in everyone's heart. We had a personal story ourselves. Several, actually. But one, we're on Sankirtan in San Francisco Wharf. This place by the water where the people go. Tourist area. And this person, he came up and he was really argumentative, and then, oh, and he left me and went to another devotee is working with me. We were working together, selling Prabhupada's books. And then he started a fight with him, and the injunction is if someone attacks the devotee, then you have to try to protect them. So then it was a big, really huge person, like some army type of person, really huge. And my godbrother was quite small like me, and this person was jumping on and rolling around the pavement. He was really beating my godbrother up very badly. So then I jumped on top of him like a little fly on top of an elephant or something. You know, I was just trying to hold on to his neck or something, pull his ear or something. He's this massive demon, you know. But I thought I have to do my duty, so I was just holding on like a little fly. And I'm thinking, God, what to do? Anyway, whatever happens. So right at that moment, some guy came out of nowhere, someone grabbed me on the shoulder and threw me off. I said, oh, wow, he has a friend and I'm finished now. He like picked me up and threw me off. And then I fell back against the wall of this building. And this is some guy that he was protecting us. He came out of nowhere, some guy that was twice as big as a demon. And then he picked the demon off the devotee and put the devotee over, he sat him over next to me with one hand. We're just sitting there against the wall of the building like this. You know, just like, what? You know, you all right? I'm okay. I both scratch you. His eye was all scratched up and stuff. And then he starts, you know, he just finished that guy completely. And then he came up to us and he said, are you guys all right? You want to buy buy you a soda or some cookies or something? You know, I know you guys are vegetarian, you know. And he said, we're all right. We said, who are you anyway? He said, I always used to come to your temple, you know, and Prabhupada was there, and you know, somewhere 20 years ago, and you know, you guys used to give me prasadam, so I didn't want to see you guys get hurt like this. This guy, the other guy never got up. The other demon, he was finished. You know? So all of us can tell so many stories, because those that are on the front lines, they will have the most war. These are, what we're telling now is war stories. So the warriors can tell the war story. I mean, the people that are home and, you know, doing work at home, they have different stories where Krishna protects them even from their own mind. We see that Mother Yashoda, as I mentioned, the only protection is the holy name of the Lord. So after Krishna vanquished the Putana witch and liberated her, gave her the position of his Dhatri, nursemaid in the spiritual world, she got that benediction. Mother Yashoda was very disturbed, and she wanted to create auspiciousness for her child. So she took a tail from the cow, because she thought, oh, this Khatri, this witch, has touched my son, and now he's all contaminated, and he's all this inauspicity here. This big demon was killed, because after Putin was killed, she assumed a form that was 12 miles long, a horrendous form of this ugly demoniac Khatri witch. So then Mother Yashoda, she took the tail of a cow, and she circled Krishna with the tail of the cow to create some good vibrations, and then she bathed him with cow dung, and then she bathed him with cow urine, and then she took some cow dung and she made a little tilak out of the cow dung. Very pure and wonderful tilak, and rudge. Brajaraj and cow dung mixed together, the perfection of life. Just like it says that wherever Tulsi is growing, it's explained in the Padma Purana, it's also quoted in Chaitanya Bhagavat by Vrindavan Das Thakur. He said, wherever you find these four things, you will find Krishna. Instead, the Ganga, wherever you find the Ganga, wherever you find the Srimad Bhagavatam, Tulsi, or the devotees of the Lord. Wherever you find the devotees of the Lord, you'll find Krishna. So wherever you find Tulsi, you'll find Krishna. And if you find Krishna, who's right next door? Radharani ki jai, Maharani ki jai, Radharani ki jai, Maharani ki jai. So when the base of Tulsi, in the earth of Tulsi, that's considered the land of Vrindavan. This is the soil of Vrindavan. So every day when the devotees are doing parikrama of Tulsi, they're taking some Tulsi and they're putting right here, right in the middle. And they're fired because they want to go that place. They want to meditate, they want to think of that dust of Vrindavan. So you take the dust back, Krishna Maharani. Because that is the dust of Vrindavan. So that's the same dust that was put on Krishna's body. This Brajaraj was mixed with the cow dung. And Mother Yashoda made a wonderful, wonderful mixture of tilak. And then what did she do? She thought, oh, we have to create auspiciousness for my son. And we have to protect my son. I have to protect his arm and his legs and his chest and his neck and his heart. I have to protect his body from these demons like Putin and Trinavarta, Putin and whoever else the other demons are. Because Putana came when Krishna was 6 days old. The Acharyas are saying when Krishna was 6 days old, then Putana came. So she made a tilak, then she starts putting tilak on Krishna's body. Om Narayana Maha, Om Madhavaya Namaha, Om Govindaya Namaha, Om Vishnudaya Namaha, Om Vanamaha, Dhamana. So she's marking, because she understood that the real protection in this world is the holy names of the Lord. Krishna Nam. My son, Krishna, I'll put this tilak on and anoint his body with the holy names of the Lord, and that will protect him. In all the 10 directions, he will be protected. So this is the teachings of the Shastras, the teachings of the Vrijvasis, teachings of Prahlad Maharaj, that there's no protection in this material world. No matter what kind of arrangements you do, elaborate arrangements of medicine or politicians or science, oh, science will save me. As I mentioned, when we were young, we used to think, oh, the scientists will create some pill. Well, I didn't finish that point. When we were young, we first became aware of death. We thought that the scientists will create some pill by which we won't have to die. In the future, they'll make some pill. I know now it's the 50s, but by the year 2000, surely, because they have rocket ships and all these technology, and they're flying here and there, surely by the year 2000, they'll have some special enzyme, some special vitamin, what they call the proverbial fountain of youth. The fountain of youth. The scientists will give us eternal life and everything we're looking for. In a pill, in a microchip, in a shot, I'll get a shot or something. But unfortunately, it's almost the year 2000. So now maybe the young people are being born, they're saying, well, maybe in the year 3000, the scientists will create something. I can imagine young people in the world now, they're like 5 or 8, 9 years old when we were 8 or 9. Well, maybe in the year 2050, the scientists will make some kind of pill. But no, janma mrityu jara vyadhi. As long as the material world is here, there will always be birth, death, disease, and old age. And there's no shelter, there's no protection from these things, except the holy name of the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. So, any questions? And Balaram. Jai Balaram. His name is Jai Balaram. Prabhupada. Yeah, we have weapons also. Instead of bow and arrow or chakra, Lord Chaitanya's weapons, as Jai Balaram was pointing out, and Sridhar Maharaj comments on Sridhar Swami. the famous commentary of Bhagavad. He's saying that this mridanga and the kartals, those are also weapons. I don't mean that you hit someone over the head with a mridanga, which I've seen. Hey, wait a minute, I've seen it. I've seen on Haridam, one devotee, one demon come out and say, "You rascal," bam! And I've also seen kartals make a pretty good imitation chakra. Many a time, in fact, I must tell one story at this juncture. I'm sorry, a little late. Once there was this famous devotee, his name was Kadamba, another Kadamba, god brother. And he knew this kind of martial arts type of thing, you know, karate and everything. So we are in San Francisco in Hainan, and he was playing kartals, someone was leading mridanga, and a big, huge demon came. He had one of these big, you know, black leather belts that was about, you know, 100 centimeters long or something. Huge big belly and big beard. It was one of these Hell's Angels type of people. It was literally one of those. So he came up, and he came up with his big belly against mridanga. You know, he had this big belly. He said, "Just stop this kirtan." There was about 80 devotees behind him. So then Kadamba was playing mridanga. And he said, "Get out of here, fatso." And Kadamba weighed about 80 kilos. Kadamba weighed about 80 kilos. This guy weighed about 200 kilos. I mean, literally. And so the guy said, "What do you say? You know, what do you say?" I said, "You're fat and get out of the way. We're trying to spread the holy name." So at that point, the guy just grabbed Kadamba, put him against the wall like this, you know, picked him up by his, cords or something, put him against the wall of the building, like that. So then, somehow, Kadamba got out of that, and then he started fighting. And the guy was kind of conventional fighting at first, this type of, you know. So then, while they were fighting, they were kind of running around and stuff, and Kadamba had a dhoti on, so this big demon, he pulled him, and his dhoti came off. It's like 8 o'clock at night in San Francisco. There's thousands of tourists from all over the world there. And he's standing there in his kopens, because in those days everybody wore kopens. Nowadays it's different. Anyway, he had his kopens on and his kurta, and he's standing there. And it was, you know, we didn't know whether to laugh or what, because this guy was, demon was so big, and we didn't know who was going to win. So then Kadamba thought, all right, I'm going to just finish this guy. So then Kadamba started doing his karate thing on the guy. And he just finished the guy. But it's so funny to see him standing there in his kopas, and he starts fighting with his kopas on. And weirdly, his tears out. "Oh, Diana, sing the day, Diana, sing the day." And this guy is like, the first thing the guy said, he's like, "What that?" You know? This big demon saw him standing there with his kopas. He's like this, you know, with his kopas. And the guy's, "What?" You know, he couldn't believe it, you know? And then about 2 seconds later, his head was going, you know, because he was jumping in the air with his foot. You know, he did it like that with his foot and knocked his head. It was a beautiful fight. So what I'm trying to say is that Jai Balaram is telling us that just as the sound of Vishnu's conch shell proclaims victory for all the devotees and defeat for all the demons, so the mridanga and the kartals, they're sounding, you know, digatam, 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 and different sounds that they make, they're also there's a vibration, there's a mantra coming from that mridanga. Because what is the mridanga? The mridanga is Balaram. It's appropriate that Jai Balaram is telling us about the mridanga, because Lord Krishna, he is served by Lord Balaram in all positions and all ways. So Balaram expands into the slippers of the shoes of the Lord, the bed of the Lord, etc. So in the Gaur Leela, Balaram comes as the mridanga. He takes the form, of course, he's Nityananda, we know that. Nityananda is Balaram. He also expands in one of his Shakti Avesh, because the Lord has so many limited expansions, so many Aveshas. He expands in the form of the mridanga. So mridanga means, that's why we call our drums Balaram mridanga. These mridangas, that Prabhupada asked the devotees to make mridangas, so when they made mridangas, they call it the plastic one, they call it Balaram mridanga from L.A. The first mridangas that were made commercially by devotees. So this is a form of Balaram. So it's natural. Balaram is speaking with the mridanga. That sound that comes out is the voice of Balaram. So Sridhar Swami is saying, when a mridanga, it's not just sounds or varnas. They call varnas or bowls. It's not some bowl. Digga digga tan, good, good, good. You know, it's actually the mridanga speaking. And who is speaking? It is Balaram speaking through the mridanga. He's saying, "Listen, demon, you're finished. Hear the sound, boom, boom, boom. That means you're annihilated. As long as this drum is going on, this holy name is being chanted, you cannot engage in material life here." That's why Prabhupada said, Whenever Krishna consciousness is being spread or the holy name is being spread, material life cannot go on and simultaneously. That's why whenever we would stand out in front of some store and chant Hare Krishna, the store owner would come out and say, "Get out from here. Don't do your Hare Nam in front of here," even though it was legal. We had permission because it's a public sidewalk. He would tell us to go from there. Why? Because people wouldn't come in his store and buy all his nonsense, stupid products. Because they hear the holy name and they would become detached. Because wherever this holy name is being vibrated, Maya cannot exist. Maya means sense enjoyment, material enjoyment, buying things, enjoying, shopping. So this is the sound, this auspicious sound of the Mridanga and the Kartal. Let it resound loud and clear in every town and every village. And let all the demons hear the wonderful sound of the Mridanga and Kartal, proclaiming the victory of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement. Because we want to kill all the demons. We want to kill all the demons. Means we want to kill the demoniac mentality. Prabhupada said, yes, kill the demons, kill their mentality. Just like when Lord Chaitanya, he didn't pull out the Mridanga and Kartal. He's always going with Mridanga and Kartal in Navadvip. He's going with Mridanga and Kartal and announcing the victory and spreading the holy name. But when it came to a Vaishnava offender, he put the Mridanga and Kartal aside. Oh, you offended a Vaishnava? Oh, Madhai? Oh, Madhai, you offended my Vaishnava? You offended my Nittai? Now I'll kill you with my chakra. And the Nittai said, no, don't kill him. Don't kill him with your chakra. Bring back your Mridanga. Get back the Mridanga and the Kartal. And kill his demoniac mentality with the boom, boom, boom. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. So this is the mercy of Nittai. Nittai said, kill all the demoniac mentality with the Mridanga and the Kartal and the holy name of Krishna. So the first example of that killing of demoniac mentality was done by Lord Chaitanya. When he put down his chakra, he said, oh yes, that's right. Because Nittai said, chakra was from the last yuga, Maharaj. Oh, Lord Chaitanya, oh, Maharaj, put down your chakra, this is Kali Yuga. Pick up that Mridanga again. Pick up the Mridanga and Kartal and let it rip, as they say. Let the kirtan fly. So that's what they did. They started a huge kirtan, and Jagai Madhai entered into the kirtan, they're dancing. And then they got purified and surrendered to Lord Chaitanya. So we want to kill the demoniac mentality by spreading the Sankirtan movement far and wide. Let the Mridanga be heard everywhere. Shri Krishna.